Scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verses 34 through 36. 1 Samuel 17, 34 through 36. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God."
Good morning, brother. Certainly is great that we could be here this morning to worship our God and Father as always and to give Him the glory. In John chapter 10 and verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." One of the interesting things about this account, if we back up to chapter 9 in John, the reason that he was teaching about him being the good shepherd really starts with John chapter 9. It is the Sabbath day, and Jesus is passing by, and he sees a man that is blind, and we are told that it's from birth. In chapter 6, or verse 6 there, in the same chapter, we learn that Jesus makes a saliva from his, takes his saliva, makes a little spit combination with clay, and puts it on the guy's eyes, and he tells him to go wash it, as we would say here, in the pool of Siloam. And that's exactly what the guy does. And as we drop down a few verses later, what we learn is the guy had never actually seen Jesus. And so he's actually brought before the Pharisees. They're angry and they're upset because Jesus, God forbid, had performed a miracle on the Sabbath. And so they bring the man before them and they question him. They say, "Who has healed you?" And he basically says, if I may summarize the passage, "I don't know. I just know that he might be a prophet." And so they call for the guy's parents. Certainly this guy cannot be blind from his birth. They bring him in. And what do they say? Well, they're afraid that they might be cast out of the synagogue because they've heard that if they talk about this man Jesus, that they're going to be cast out of the synagogue and they want to still worship God. And so they say, "Yes, this is our son. He was born blind, but I have no idea how he was healed. You'll have to ask him." And so they bring the guy back in. And of course, he gets a little more pointed. You know, "I believe this guy's someone special." And ultimately, they cast him out. And they try to reject the fact that this man was born blind. What's important, as we learn in that account, is Jesus was actually trying to illustrate the point that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes were all spiritually blind. They didn't want to accept Jesus as the Messiah. And so in John chapter 10, as he's giving an example there of who he really is, we need to remember that the I am statements of Jesus are boldly proclaiming that he is the Messiah. And in John chapter 10, verse 11, that great statement that Jesus made, "I am the good shepherd." Now, we just read the account of David. And there in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we learn that David was in fact a shepherd for his father. He had taken care of the sheep for his father, and that was certainly his job, we might say, in his period of time. David was a shepherd of the sheep. And we learn that being a good shepherd, he had to do things that necessarily wasn't always the best thing to do. Imagine having to face a lion or bear today. And certainly, if we understand the context, a shepherd during that time would have normally carried a sling with them with a bag of some stones so that they could sling shots at anything that might take the sheep from their fold. But also they carried a rod of about 30 inches and they carried a staff with a hook that we might say so that they could grab those sheep as they might try to run off from them. And so if we understand that and we understand the sheepfold even in the first century, the sheepfold was actually something out in the middle of the land built by stones that had walls around it that all the shepherds would actually send their flock to, and one of the shepherds would guard that, and they would actually put thorns on the outside of the walls so that no robber could climb up and actually still the sheep. And so when the shepherd would want to go feed a sheep, he would just go out there to this sheepfold and he would call his sheep by name and they would hear him. And so Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Remember in the I am statements of Jesus, what he's emphatically saying is, I am. If you remember, we talked about last week about being Yahweh. That's what he's saying here. I am Yahweh. I'm the one that Moses was told back in the day when he was going to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt. And God said, this is what you're going to tell them who I am. I am, I am, I am Yahweh. And Moses learned really quick that that was, in all intended purposes, the name of God. And so Jesus is standing here and he's teaching these Pharisees and these scribes and his apostles and he's saying the same thing. I am, I am, I am Yahweh. Listen to me. And so he goes on to say then, I am the good shepherd. You know what it means to be good here? When Jesus is announcing that he is the good shepherd, he's saying that he's unique. He's one of a kind. He's the only good one. You know, it's talking about a quality of character, something that has intrinsic value, something that's valuable regardless of what value you and I place on it. You know, Peter would say the same thing as he's talking about our redemption in 1 Peter chapter 1 and really verses 18 and 19 where he talks about how we were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, and then in verse 19, but you were redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. The Lamb without spot or blemish. You see, one of the things that we